Well, you have all lived through most of 2020, and you know we all have dealt in one way or another with COVID, with those who are kids or who have kids or grandkids, with the whole disruption of the school system, of jobs. You probably can't even remember murder hornets. That was so long ago in the year, but that was one of the plagues of this year. We have been confronted with and acknowledged the racism that's part of our country. We have faced natural disasters more than, I don't know if you noticed this, but normally they just go through the list of names for the hurricanes, and they used up the whole alphabet and are pretty well through the Greek alphabet, like a whole second round. And I guess my question out of all that, and Megan and Luke touched on this, is do you ever think to yourself, I'm just ready for God to show up and set it right? I'm ready for God to do his thing, to get us through this and past this. And that's really the essence of Advent hope. As hard as this year has been, it's not the first time there's been a hard year in human existence. Over the generations and the centuries and the millennia, people have faced loss and death and injustice and struggle. And throughout all of that, even before the Christian era, back into the Hebrew scriptures, people have longed for help and hope and deliverance and salvation. And that finds such rich expression in the Old Testament as God's people rest on God's goodness and long for God's deliverance. And then as it's brought to such full expression in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So this morning we're going to look at one of those passages from the Hebrew Scriptures, Psalm 33. I often talk about the Psalms as songs because they were prayers and sometimes sung prayers to God, and they cover the whole range of human experience and emotion. And really all of Advent, we're going to look at songs of hope and love and faith and joy and peace in Scripture. So today, a song of hope. And what Psalm 33 offers to us is not just a kind of appeal like, people of faith just kind of light the fire of hope within you and let it burn. It gives us some good practical tools to cultivate hope within us. Because I know the frustration of hearing preachers or teachers or friends say, you just got to have hope. And you think, well, where does it come from? Does it just fall out of the sky and land on me? Or is it something I'm supposed to have, but I don't? And I appreciate that this psalm walks us through. And think about it being a song. You actually sing through the reasons why we can have hope. So we're going to look at two reasons this morning. Why we can have hope, and then end up with kind of a takeaway exercise that will help with that. So if you're a confirmation student taking notes on this virtually, just watch the bottom of your screen because the main ideas will be there and for you too in the room. We're going to start now with the first reason why we can have hope in God. And this kind of covers verses 4 through 12 of the psalm. And that first reason is the word and the work of the Lord. So listen, in verse 4, it names this for us. So we've started, Psalm 33, with this invitation to worship God. Hope in God. God is good. And then here's why, is what follows. For the Lord, because the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Why can you hope in God? How can you hope in God? Because God's word is upright and his work is done in faithfulness. So we're going to look for a second at his word. Not only is it upright, that is good and righteous and full of integrity and truth. You can see all these lists, you in the room can see these listed up here. The song just kind of goes through these attributes of God and God's work, what God has said, what God has done. So the word of God is what God has said, and we're reminded that it's upright. If God says it, it's right. That's what the word righteous means. What God says, what God does is right. And so you can count on it as being true and good. God's word is creative, and the psalm goes through this imagery about creation. That story is told at the beginning of the Bible. And it says, by God's word, he spoke it, the Lord made the heavens, by the breath of his mouth, made all the host of heaven, the citizens of heaven. Remember back in the Genesis 1 story, God said, let there be light. God spoke it into existence, and it was good. So the word of the Lord is upright, it's creative, it's powerful. The psalm gives us some imagery about God gathering the seas together as in a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. And then in verses 8 through 10, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of God. For God, this is how powerful God's word is. He spoke and it was done. God commanded and it held fast. And then God's word is eternal. It is from generation to generation. We skip this in the readings, but it says God's word lasts forever and it is from generation to generation. So that's what God speaks. And what does God speak? It's written down in here. It's those things: upright, powerful, creative, eternal. And then the part about God's work, still part of this first reason we can hope in God, is God's work is faithful. It's done faithfully. So God loves righteousness and justice, we read in here. And creation and earth is full of his loving kindness. It's that word hesed from Hebrew that kind of, we have to take about 10 words to define it. It's God's compassion and kindness and faithful love that endures. You know, it's not just a here today, gone tomorrow, but it's a solid kind of compassionate love. God's work is done out of that character of who God is. So the first reason to hope is the word and work of God, or what God has said, what God has done. And we have the testimony of that in Scripture. We also have many of us have the testimony, the experience of what God has said and God has done in our own lives. And at the end today, I'm going to challenge you to take some time to remember that. Write it down. What has God said, spoken into your life? What has God done in your life? The second reason that we can hope in God in verses 13 through 19 is the care and the compassion of God. And again, this song of hope, this psalm, lists out different expressions of God's compassion. That's the hesed again, God's care. So in verses 13 and 14, it says God sees all humanity. And then in the next verse, and God, because God made us, God understands us. It brings to mind that story of Hagar back in Genesis. She was the servant to Sarah, who was married to Abraham. And when Sarah couldn't have children, Abraham kind of bypassed God's promise that you will have children with Sarah. And he had a child with Hagar. And Sarah was jealous and beat her and drove her away. As Hagar fled, God, the God of Abraham and Sarah, Yahweh, came to her and blessed her and told her how he was going to bless her and her son. And in that exchange, Hagar said, you are the God who sees. You have seen me. You have seen my condition and my struggle. I'm reminded of that when I read about God's care and compassion. This psalm says he sees all of humanity in all of their need, and God understands us. That's a reason to hope. And then the psalm goes on in verses 16 to 19 to talk about God's deliverance, God's salvation. It's even from things as powerful as death and famine. And they're those verses that we've used a couple of times this fall. The king and his army, his horses and his chariots can't save you, but God can save you. God's power, God's authority is lifted up above that of human governments and kings and rulers and armies and powers. It says this is how strong God is. The God who is compassionate is also strong to save and will save. And so in verse 18, it's kind of a summary of all that. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Again, when you read that word fear in the Bible, it's not a cowering in the corner. It's a worshipful, kind of awe-inspiring, like you bend the knee because God is so awesome. That's the fear of the Lord. It says, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear or worship him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, his chesed. The second reason that we can hope in God is that chesed, because God is compassionate and loving and kind and delivers. So the end of the psalm, the last three verses, 20 through 22, say this: our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. I had never put these two together, waiting and hope. I don't know why not, because it's very obvious. If you already have something, you don't have to hope in it anymore, right? It's there. If there's hope involved, there's almost, I think, almost always going to be waiting involved, right? There's this, it's coming in the future. That's, I'm hoping, and until it gets here, I'm waiting in hope. And it's all over Scripture, so I don't know why I've never paired those together in my head. But here in this Song of Hope, it says, so I'll wait. Because of these reasons I've just listed, because of God's word and work, what God said and done, because of God's care and compassion, what God is like, I will wait, and I'll wait in hope. And that hope is not in vain because of who God is, what God has done. So the psalm lists a few more traits, this time for us, as we hope and wait. We're to be patient and joyful and trusting and hopeful. And I get it. We don't always feel that way. But what I want to leave you with are an exercise, right? Because I don't feel it every day, those things. But this psalm has mapped out for us what I think is a helpful exercise to identify and name and experience the hope that's in here. So three things, takeaways for you. And I would suggest using this psalm as a template. So maybe just have a, 20 minutes, sit down this week, open up this psalm in your Bible and read through it. And then here are the three things. First, take time to list out in a journal or a sheet of paper what God has said or done, that's God's word or work, in your life. And what did you learn about God and about yourself? So the psalm is a starting place. It tells you the answer to that for the person that wrote the psalm. If you need like a prompt or a starter, but the exercise is for you. What has God said or done in my life? And what have I learned about God and about myself from that? The second part of the exercise is take time to list what God is like. This is the second reason to hope, right? God's care and compassion. How have you experienced God's character, God's care, God's compassion, God's chesed? How has God seen and cared for you, like he did for Hagar, like he did the psalmist in this psalm? So those two parts of the exercise are based on the two reasons for hope. What God has said is said and done, what God is like. So try to list those out for your own life. And then, third, pray for help, waiting, and pray for hope. It's okay to say, God, I'm having trouble hoping. Would you help me to hope? Now, I would say, don't skip the first two steps and jump right to this. It's not a magical solution, right? It's not going to fall out of the sky and hit you on the head. The psalmist has told us how he got to hope. I mean, these verses of why he hopes. So pray for help, and don't just skip to the prayer, but take time to list out those things I said, because they will equip us. They will prepare us. You know how sometimes you need to be ready to experience something. This happens to me daily, but we got home from a short trip to visit with my parents out on the patio yesterday for Thanksgiving in Greenville, South Carolina. We got back in the house. I was hungry, had to go to the restroom, and one of the kids asked me a question, and it was a good question, and it was this is going to be an involved, meaningful exchange, and I just wasn't ready for that. I got to go to the bathroom. I need to get something to eat, and so I just kind of shut it down, unfortunately. And had to circle back to that later. To experience God's hope, we have to be ready. We have to open ourselves up to it. And this psalm and these exercises are ways to do that, to prepare yourself to experience God's hope in the waiting. So I'll try that this week, and I hope you'll try it. And I'd love for you to let me know if you experience hope through that.